Hey there, welcome back to the Path to Zion podcast, where we are rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you so much for tuning back into the program today. I will say before we get anything going here today, I have several Bible studies that are in completion as far as writing and preparation type things. We just need to get down here and record. I intend to do that on the other side of what we're going to talk about today, which is very spontaneous. You can always find us over at PathToZion.com and all other places where you listen to podcasts and music. And of course, on our YouTube channel, Facebook, and all those things, if you want to know anything more about the program and what we talk about here. That being said, the eclipse is forecast for tomorrow. The Great American Eclipse is tomorrow, Monday, April the 8th, on the Gregorian mainstream calendar that most people live according to. And I just recorded an entire episode. If you follow the program, you already know about what I feel we should be found doing. So I don't intend to repeat all of that. That is something you can go and watch. It's 30 minutes long, and we did it about 3 or 4 days ago. But for those who haven't watched it, it boils down to two primary things that I submitted for consideration. One is that we need to be a discerning people in this world of lies and deception, that there are things at play, there are things that are already set, and they're just, it's like a movie has already been recorded, and all they're waiting to do is to set a release date. Tomorrow, the eclipse is a very good marker for a potential release date for a whole world of things that I'm not going to get into today, and I don't ever get into here on the program. I engage in conversation in real life with people about that, but most people don't want to talk about it. They think it's all just crazy conspiracy theory. And so I encouraged anyone who would listen on the program the other day to be a discerning people and to be alert to what is brought to us, what's delivered to us. And number two, the most important part that we highlighted in the eclipse episode the other day was to be listening to what the heavens are declaring. We dissected Psalm chapter 19 a little bit. We talked about how the heavens, the Shemayim of Yahweh Elohim, are declaring something. They're speaking words. They are giving out knowledge, revealing knowledge. And so I presented for consideration that Father's heavens very much perform, biblically speaking, the role of a prophet, that they are speaking and they're announcing, they're declaring things ongoing, the heavens that Yahweh created. Now, to today, I get concerned when I see how many people that I know and that I love are seemingly ignorant of all the signs that are stirring below the surface of goings on this earth right now. Many just seem to shrug it all off and say, I trust God. It's alarmingly casual in many camps about like, well, I just trust God. Nobody can know anything. And I think that, and as we always say, there's a pendulum swing with these types of things. And I feel like many who are just kind of casually and uninformedly, is that a word? I couldn't spell it if I had to, trusting in God, but are kind of been lulled to sleep towards a lot of ongoing events on the earth. The events of the world outside of like Fox News and CNN and, you know, the endless YouTube channels that are always divulging all these pieces of information. But I would say we are definitely in a generation right here in 2024 that has truly forgotten what it means to intently wait. Even when the word talks about patiently waiting, we've talked about this on the program, I think 4 or 5 years ago. It is an active waiting. When you're waiting upon Yahweh, it's not a kick your feet up and just take a nap until Jesus returns. It is an active, ongoing, interactive waiting, a longing and anticipating, which is why the word so many times talks about the posture of our eyes, that our gaze is set on things above. And as we talked about in the program a few days ago, that our eyes are on the heavens and our ears are listening to what the heavens are declaring, what they're speaking, and asking Father to give us the ability to discern what the heavens are revealing in the light of knowledge, that's something we need to know here in this generation we live within. Now, equally, I somewhat cringe when I see how many people on the flip side of this are just gorging on all the potentially catastrophic events that may happen tomorrow or in days to follow. Hyperspeculation can surely ascertain all of our attention. And if you're like me, and I'm saying this from a posture of being honest, I could be that guy who connects the dots and have you heard about this and have you heard about that? I could do that, as I've said on the program before. I can be that way. And I'm not saying it's wrong or bad, but if we're not careful, it can be all we spend our time doing, and it can at least pull us away from listening to tuning into what Father is speaking. What is the Spirit saying in this hour? What are the heavens declaring? I want to be careful and cautious that I'm not ingesting so much information that I'm forgetting the giver of wisdom and discernment towards these matters as we gain information and knowledge of things that will happen. Endless YouTube videos and connections here and intriguing things here, if we're not careful, can keep us distracted. And in this sort of a daze of just putting together all the pieces. So fast forward to today. This morning, I woke up feeling kind of heavy in my inner man. I woke up early and I asked Father, What are you doing? What are you saying? I know that this eclipse and all this laundry list of things that I have ascertained in my own understanding of events that are going on in the governments, in politics, in... I don't even want to crack open the door. There are things that have even become personal that like comes to my inbox. It's like, wow, that is really lending to confirmation of many things I am very concerned about being implemented very, very soon. Like real life practical things of like, I'm not going to go into it. Like that make me really pause and say, wow, this could be something. This could literally be, again, here we are. You got to watch the last video if you haven't, or you're not going to understand what I'm saying. We're not talking about necessarily Yahweh bringing this end times event to, you know, rapture us out or anything like that. I don't believe in that anyway, in the sense that is traditional Christianity. But that being said, I'm talking about, again, to where I was maybe 8 minutes ago, about the release date of plans within the governments of men. There are a lot of things that could very easily be implemented, yeah, very soon, and justified through all these manufactured events. It is something we need to really keep our attention on in rightful measure. And so I woke up this morning, a lot on my mind. So I just quieted myself and my thoughts and my wonderings. I didn't go check YouTube videos or updates towards, you know, what's happened overnight and that sort of thing. I said, Father, what are you speaking? And I landed in two different places. Proverbs chapter 14 was front and center, first and foremost, and then Deuteronomy chapter 8 again, where I am with great regularity this year for some reason. Because it's entirely plausible that something could really shift in our culture, in this nation, if you're watching in the United States, which not everybody who watches the program does. But at the very least, those of us who pay attention know that there will be an end times people. Okay, like I always try to put that in my thinking because 20 years ago, I really started watching signs in the earth, different things, different unique things, different examples of what I believe man is trying to implement into the earth. I believe Yahweh does what he always does. He orchestrates his enemies to accomplish his own purposes and to get the ball continually rolling towards the fulfillment of prophecies. Yahweh's in absolute control of the whole thing. Men aren't, even though they think they are. They're simply utilized by the Creator to accomplish His will and His ways. That's not that complicated. And so with that in mind, someone will be the generation that sees major prophecies literally unfold. I try to remind myself of that. It is possible that it will be my generation. It is very possible it will be our son's generation. It's, you know, how far do we want to take it? We know that there is a prophesied end of the age. There is. This nation, I told someone this just yesterday, we have got to get through our patriotic Christian American brains that this nation is set for judgment. This nation, to fulfill biblical prophecies, will fall prey to what all other preceding nations have, which is they must be brought low. They must be brought low. We have cruised for too long, which is where we're headed today in this discussion, for your consideration as we move along. So I'm asking today, this morning, just mere hours ago, what are the heavens declaring today? I know what I'm being told will come tomorrow. I'm not saying it won't. Man has figured out a whole lot of things. We talked about that in the last program as well. But what are they going to speak tomorrow if Father would show me? What, though, today is front and center right here in my life? I'm with my son this morning. My wife's out of town for the day. And so he and I just sat down together and prayed some today. Father, show us, what are you doing? We need you to be our protector. We need you to be our deliverer. We need you to be our safety, our refuge. We have to have you, Father, above every other thing in our life, established, sure, and set. How do we stay as your set-apart people? What knowledge, though, are the heavens revealing? They're pouring out speech. Remember, we talked about that. How do we tune into what Father is speaking and revealing through the heavens? Through his word, through time communing with him, through Holy Spirit's reminding us of what Yeshua said, which is what the Father said, which is recorded in this miraculous book for us to add to our lives. So in my meditation time this morning, again, as I already alluded to a little bit, I was in Proverbs 14 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 addresses much. And I will say, just for the sake of time, this is not going to have verses in it and all that overlays and subscribe flashes and all that. It's just going to be recorded and go online. If you're used to the verses, you'll have to look them up for yourself today. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Proverbs 14 and a couple others we'll throw in there as well. But we know Deuteronomy chapter 8 is talking about blessings for those who walk in Father's commandments. It's very simple. There's constant reminders to remember his ways. We've done some commentaries on that in recent weeks about we're a forgetful people. We need reminded. Reminders of how Yahweh took care of his people in the wilderness is all through Deuteronomy chapter 8. He fed them. He clothed them. He took care of them literally in their need, in their lack, in their dependence upon him. And this, of course, is where Yeshua quoted the Torah when he stated, man does not live by bread alone, okay? This is what Yeshua was remembering and recounting and declaring in the midst of the people. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by what? Every word that proceeds from, comes out of the mouth of his Father Yahweh. He spoke this to the crowds in his lifetime. So Revelation speaks to this also in chapter 14. Of those who will be marked as Yahweh's set-apart people. And it says this, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of Elohim and their faith in Yeshua. Those can go together, friend. We've been told you have to choose Yahweh's commandments or Yeshua and faith in him, but that is not a scriptural proposition. This is probably a good time for us to settle that in our hearts as we move forward into the future from here. And these are, of course, the ones, these, who cling to, keep the commandments of Elohim and have their faith established in Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of Elohim. These are the ones, of course, that the beast wages war against. Just two chapters earlier in the book of Revelation. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18, 17 through 20 speaks to what I believe is good for us to have at the front and the center of our minds right now. With some shaky things possibly in our future, no pun intended. Our dependence upon anything other than the Almighty is going to be shaky ground. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. We're not just talking about wealth, but like I believe what this is saying, the greater issue is my life has come through my own hands, my own efforts. Look what we've done. And some may think I'm making this a stretch because people say, well, everything I have is God's and it's all because of him. And that's my testimony. I know we all say that and we all have heard that our whole lives. But what I'm saying is there's a principle within this. If we go a little bit deeper into our hearts past the first floor, there are many things in our life that we feel privileged to have in an unshakable way. Things we deserve. Things, if nothing else, we're just used to. We'll get to that as well, but let's read the word. So there's this warning. Beware so that you don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me whatever it is in my life. You shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Anything we have is His, literally because He's good. That He may, okay, so why though? Why do we have all this blessing here in this nation? Why do we have this blessing? If not mishandled, misappropriated, misused, we're told. Why is so that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget Yahweh your Elohim and go after other Elohim, other gods, and if you serve them and worship them, which can include ourselves, can include a patriotic nation, it can be a flag, it can be a cross, friend, it can be a false messiah, any other Elohim that we give ourselves to in a place of dependence. I solemnly warn you today, says Yahweh, you shall surely perish, like the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you. Okay? There's a separation. There's a distinction. Yahweh set apart people who have one Elohim, and it's Yahweh, not multiples, not three, not 20. Those will perish. Those nations whose Elohim is not Yahweh Elohim. Why? Because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim. So here we are, the voice again. The voice. How do we discern what is His voice and how do we receive what it is we're hearing properly? We have to practice this greatly in much greater measure right here, right now. Sadly, this is where I would say, in my opinion, this nation and the world primarily stands, is this the separating of the nations. The ones who have their own Elohim, and all that we have is through the wonderful, you know, I don't want to step on toes, but like, if you go back years ago to our videos, I was in my kitchen with a sheet behind me and a $20 HD webcam. And what did I do? I went through the foundations of this nation. I went through what this nation is built according to and upon. All the Gnosticism, the Code of Hammurabi, and all this ancient foreign god language that empowered George Washington to sit in that apothecary? I don't remember what it's called. That's not it. It's some big word. It's on the rotunda of the Capitol. And you can look at the picture. You could fly there right now and look at him. He's being empowered by Minerva and Lady Liberty and all these ancient deities. And so with that in mind, everything on that foundation is a fulfillment of these nations, in my opinion. Most people who love America and you know, this is God's sovereign nation, they just won't hear it, and I understand that. If you want to look into that, it's very lengthy and very deep. I have one that has images from the District of Columbia and all the stuff. We did that years ago. If you're interested, it's out there. But we think in this nation, we're very self-sufficient. We lead the world. We're affluent. We're successful. We need nothing. If anybody on the earth needs something, they come to us, right? Well, that has been true for today anyway, for today. But what if this changes? I mean, what if this changes really? How ready are we to be someone that does not live on bread alone anymore? I'm not saying we're all going to starve. We're going into spiritual things here. There's something more for us than everything we've grown accustomed to depending upon. How ready are you to receive the food that Father brings to sustain His people? Spiritual, maybe natural. I don't claim to know. Are you a part of His covenantal people? Because if we're not His covenant people, if we're not truly understanding what it means to be in Yahweh, like Abraham, we're going to have some real struggles with how a covenant people behaves in a time of wilderness living. Some excerpts from Proverbs chapter 14. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. The simple believes everything. We won't park there too long. The simple believes everything. Oh yeah, they can't do that with the clouds. They can't fabricate earthquakes. They can't create catastrophes like that. Or my favorite, why would my government tear down and blow up a building? Why would they do that? The simple believes everything. This is what I'm told. Yes, that's why. Okay, next. Let's go to Applebee's and have lunch. Whatever we want to eat. All you can eat ribs. That's American mindset. That's how I grew up, friend. Buffets and lavish living. That's sadly what in many ways I'm still used to today. It's normal for us here. But may we wake up. Let's continue reading Proverbs 14. But even though the simple believe everything, the prudent gives thought to his steps. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with what? They're crowned with knowledge. Ironically, the heavens are what? They're revealing knowledge. One who is wise is cautious, and he turns away from evil. What is evil? We talked about that a few episodes back. If you're new here, go back. What is evil? What is good? Can we know today? We've talked about that. But a fool is reckless and careless. I would say if we're not careful, that is, I'm trusting in God living. I don't prepare for anything. I don't think about anything. If anything bad happens, God will just take care of me. It's fine. I'm not saying there's not a place of being truly settled and peaceful, but I have real concern about if things really do go down, about those false comforts really being like shifting into panic mode. I would desire that we don't do that. I would like us to be prepared. In here. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. In the fear of Yahweh, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. I want my son to have a refuge. I want to have strong confidence. Well, we can have those things in the fear of Yahweh, a respect and honor, in a bowing our knee to Yahweh's commandments, being our absolute go-to source on how to live in an age of shaking, friend. His word is true. His promises. We just read a little bit at the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 8 is these blessings that come if you win you. We talk about that a lot as well. Let's read some of Hebrews chapter 11 for our own benefit because it's good for us to have between our ears. It is for discipline that you have to endure. Okay, we're going to shift a little bit into this discipline mindset. I'm going to propose we need a little bit of discipline, and this may, if we are moving into a judgment era of this nation, which we're saying, again, we're saying, because people say, oh no, come on. Even myself, I've said this on the show before. If over the last 20 years, I expect certain things to happen, and some of these things have not happened yet, even myself, I kind of get a little casual. I think, well, I thought this was going to happen back in 2020. I thought this was going to happen in 2015. We can do that. But let's stay alert. Let's stay just aware to what Father's doing. So it's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there from whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Whoa, let's stop right here. So that we can share in his holiness? Well, we just say a prayer or we go to a gathering and say, oh, holy, 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 make me holy now. No, friend. Discipline for our good. And this discipline allows us to be postured to share in his holiness. Discipline, friend. Discipline, holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Oh, no. Oh, well, I don't want anything painful. Because God is a good father. He wouldn't do anything painful. And see, friends, this is why all this stuff matters. This is why we're calling out the ooey gooey. Oh, I feel the Spirit. Do you feel the Spirit? Yes. He's telling me I'm going to get a new job. He's telling me I'm awesome. He's telling me how much Jesus loves me. He's telling me how... I'm just saying, those type of feely things, what if those aren't here for a season? I mean, I'm not even going to scrutinize whether or not it's truly Holy Spirit. I think many times it's a false spirit. That's not even the point right here. What are we going to do if an entire generation believes that encountering God is being in a carpeted coffee shop with the lights dim and just enough guitars to cry a little bit because we feel Holy Spirit? What if we go through an hour of discipline, friend? I mean, what if Yahweh brings discipline to his sons, to his children, because it is good for them? I'm afraid many will resist it. They'll think it's the devil. Even though we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, look, man, discipline is awful when it's there. Discipline stinks. Discipline hurts, friend. It's painful rather than pleasant. And we have to know these things, and I don't mean know them. I mean believe them, because we're going to have to know these things, our generation or our children's generation. But later, this discipline yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Friends, we've not been trained. We've not been trained. I grew up in the church, in Christianity. A youth pastor, a teacher. If not said bluntly, if you're going through a tough trial, just endure. It's just the devil, man. Pray till it goes away. It's just the devil. The devil's after you. The devil's after your kids. This tells me, if I'm a son of Elohim, his discipline is for my good. And I'm promised here that all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, but only to those who have been trained by it. Friend, are we ready to be trained by discipline in order to actually possess the fruit of righteousness? I want to be, and I also can equally acknowledge, as I'm getting worked up because this is right here for me today, I know and I see the endless things in my life that will prohibit me from welcoming the discipline, because I like to be comfortable. I like to be fed. I like to be cozy. I like to do the things I want to do when I want to do them, friend, and more than likely you do too. And I don't mean this to be emotional, but we need to wake up to the reality that we are a spoiled, rotten people. I don't know that I'm ready to receive Father's discipline that may come through the shakings of the kingdoms of men. And sadly, I live within the kingdoms of men. We've been trying to come out for years, but we're still dependent. We are self-sufficient in good ways, in many ways, yes, more than we were, more than we have been. But there will still need to be a dependence that is greater than any other thing I can do on my own and apprehend in my own efforts. And it could be soon, friend. This chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, it concludes with quoting the words of the prophet Haggai. And it says this: at that time, his voice shook the earth. Now he's promised. And he speaks this: yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made. Why? In order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. I'm afraid that many of us have become the son who remained with his father when the prodigal went out, and we've been back at the house, we're spoiled rotten. We're arrogantly expecting privilege. I'm not saying Yahweh's provision, his safety, all the things that we may be dependent on in greater measure very soon. I'm not saying he's not going to provide everything we need. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is it may look very, very different than the casual comforts that we think is just God's favor. Oh, God's favor. God's good all the time, brother. It may look wilderness-ish. And we may want to grumble. And we may want to complain. And we may want to say, can't we just go back to the land of bondage again? Oh, I would never do that. I would never do that. I'm in Jesus. I'm not like those rebellious Jewish people who rejected Messiah. Hogwash, friend. That's a lie and a deception. And this is the self-exaltation that we talked about again not long ago. We think we know better now. Friends, we're no different. Are you kidding me? I'm no different than those individuals led through the wilderness. They saw a pillar of fire and a cloud and things that you and I have never seen. Yeah, and they still walked away. Let us get in the dirt and humble ourselves now, right now, today. I don't want you nor myself or my household to wait until the shaking, for real shaking, comes. I don't want to do it then. I want that to be my constant dependent routine upon my Father's provision and his goodness and his kindness, even if it comes as discipline, that you know what? This is painful. This is painful. But here we are. We're in a Christian culture where it says, you know what? I'm okay. It's fine. You know, like I'm dying of cancer or something like that. I'm not saying you can't have a awesome peace that surpasses understanding, but like I have inherited a Christian mindset where you don't talk about what's wrong. No, God's good. I'm fine. Always. Like, you know, I'm riddled with pain from head to toe, but I'm good. God's good. You know, I'm just saying, what if we get to a place of just being, dumping out our guts and being honest and saying, you know what, Father, this is painful. This discipline that you're bringing me, have you read the book of Job? Where are you? How about Psalms, David? Where are you? Where is my deliverer? Father, don't be silent. Where did you go? What did Yeshua say? What is true? I don't mean to get worked up. I apologize. I'll get back to my notes. Today is the day to prepare our hearts, friend. Whether Father orchestrates the nations of men to carry out his bidding this week on like what we would call a large scale or not. Friends, there are a laundry list of things that like it doesn't take much time to say, you know what? This could be something. I'm not saying the end of the ages or the culmination of it, but I'm saying, boy, there's some horses at the gate and it's about to lift. There's a lot of horses lined up, friend, ready to run. Father knows it's all his. It's nothing. Nothing's outside of his control. No, of course. Am I afraid? I'm not afraid, but I am like, oh, like I just said, I'm trying to be honest. Father, you got to help me. I'm not ready to endure some things. I don't like discipline. It's painful. I can quote the word all the time. Well, Yeshua learned through the things that he suffered. Amen. I'm going to be just like him. But friend, when real life comes and that press comes in, can be very painful rather than pleasant. We've all experienced those things, right? If we're honest. But this will come. Like, we're going to end here. This we're talking about, it will come. Like, that's the thing I want to drive home. If you're a naysayer, it says, it's just more hogwash, more conspiracy theories, more nonsense, more distractions. I understand. But equally, if the men of Yeshua's day were expecting and having language of an urgency of Yeshua's return, friend. I don't know much about eschatology and like check marks of what's left and all these things. I don't need to. Friends, it's nearing. It's nearing. So why wait? Why risk it is what I'm saying. So listen to this. I'm going to repeat this a couple times as we bring this to an absolute conclusion. We must be set free from the land of bondage in order to move into the promise. It's a mouthful. I'll say it again. We must be set free from the land of bondage in order to move into the land of promise. Comforts, provision, routine, predictability, controlled circumstances. We've all become dependent upon the riches and the wealth of this land. Anyone who, in America anyway, who believes otherwise has been fooled. Oh, I don't need all that stuff. I don't need anything. I'm not saying if you're watching this YouTube on some, you know, solar-powered device in the middle of the woods and you've changed your identity and you're off-grid and all that. I'm talking to most real people here. We've become dependent. We must remember that the one who endures to the end is the one that will be saved. I tell people all the time, are you saved, brother? No. No, I'm not. Oh, you need Jesus. No, I need to endure to the end. I need to endure to the end, empowered by Holy Spirit through the finished work of Yeshua Messiah unto the covenant living of Yahweh my Elohim. It is a yet to be determined event, condition. Rescue, deliverance, and salvation can only come according to the one that brings it. This is all in Yahweh's control. I want to be on his side. I want to be marked like those in Revelation we already read about. The ones who cling to the commandments of Yahweh Elohim and possess the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. I want to be that one. It's not up to us, okay? To conclude where we started, do we really live by the very words that come from Yahweh? I mean, really. May we practice being like our forerunner Messiah, who said, my food is what? To do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. His work. We've been told. Only Father knows when all these things are going to go down, but one thing is for sure. He always announces what will come through his prophets. We're told that in the Word. He does nothing except first declaring it through the mouths of his prophets. Not the ones on the YouTube channels, friend. His true prophets found in Holy Scriptures. We've been told what will come. We've been told what we must do to be ready. We will have been told how to be marked, how to be set apart. And we must be equally ready to endure well. We must be ready to receive discipline that will what? Lead to righteousness. We must be ready. So let's get busy doing whatever it is that the Father tells us that is. Amen? You've been watching the Path to Zion podcast. We're rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you for watching. May Yahweh teach us, instruct us, counsel us, and tell us every single thing we need to know and empower us according to his Holy Spirit to walk it out in whatever increment it is necessary. Amen.